In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us. We're so happy to have you. I want to welcome in a special way those who are watching us on Facebook Live and those who are unable to be here with us physically, because I know that many people are not able to come for a variety of reasons. We want you to know that you're especially in our prayers. And as we gather this Sunday, it would be important for us to gather also spiritually with those who are at Crucio this weekend. A significant number of our men are going through the Crucio weekend, and we thank God for them, for those on the team and those who are participating as pilgrims. There were a group of soldiers on the top of a hill, and they had fought hard, so they were resting. And all of a sudden, they get from the communications officer, the sergeant, the command to go to the next hill and start a battle there. So they all get all their equipment, their weapons, and they go over to the next hill, and they fought hours and hours and hours until they won the fight. And after the small war was completed, they heard a voice again from the communications officer, the sergeant, saying, "Retreat! Go back to the other hill." Now, as they were going back to the other hill, one of the soldiers started scratching his head and said, "You know, this doesn't make any sense to me. We just won that battle. Why are we retreating? Why don't we just stay in the place, you know, where we conquered the enemy?" And one of the officers next to him said, "Oh, you'll understand when you get the big picture. Where we are now, you can't see the big picture." And so the soldier says, "Well, how do I get the big picture?" "Oh, you've got to work hard and go up in rank. And when you become a captain, then you'll get the big picture." So this man did everything he could to advance in the military and become a captain. He did everything. He sacrificed himself, worked the hardest, did everything he could. Eventually, he became a captain. And when he was gathered with all the captains, he said, "Well, when are we going to get the bigger picture? I heard that when you get to captain, you get the big picture. You get to see the big picture." "Oh, no, they lied to you. You have to be a colonel." He said, "A colonel?" Well, he worked so hard, and he went on and on and on and made it to colonel. Years and years of sacrifice. He wanted to see the big picture. The big picture he couldn't see from the top of that hill. Well, one day, wouldn't you believe it, he became a colonel. And he was gathered with all the colonels. "So is this where we get to see the big picture?" "Oh, they must have lied to you, man." He says, "No, we're just military people. If you want to get the big picture, you got to become a politician." A politician retired from the military, went to his hometown, became a councilman in his city, a few years later became a representative, eventually became a senator. So he gets to Capitol Hill and he becomes a senator. Years and years of sacrifice. Gathered with all the senators on top of the Capitol Hill there, he says, "This must be the place where you get the big picture." He says, "Did they tell you that here in Washington? You don't get the big picture from politicians. You got to become an economist or work with the people in Wall Street, because they get the big picture." Well, wouldn't you know it, he retired from his life as a politician, and he joined Wall Street. And he didn't just join Wall Street. He became like a big guru in one of these big banks in Wall Street. He was at the top of his game, and gathered a big conference table there in Lower Manhattan where you could see the whole world. He said, "This must be the place where you see the big picture." And as he's looking around the boardroom table, he starts saying, "I'm so glad I finally made it. This is the place where you get the big picture." The guy next to him says, "Oh, were you stuck in that bloody hill too?" The big picture. Where do you get the big picture? What do you have to do? If you look at Jesus, all over the gospel, Jesus is trying to get us to see the big picture. He's trying to help us to look beyond our own immediate needs and wants for knowledge and truth. And he's trying to help us to think through life and understand things. I don't know why so many Christians in the 21st century have such a hard time getting the big picture. That's what Jesus tried to teach us all through the gospel. Here we are in Mark 2. And already in Mark 2, the second chapter of Mark. Remember, we have four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark is the most condensed. But in the second chapter already, they're looking for a way to get rid of him. And they're looking for a way to get rid of him, not because Jesus was some kind of rebellious Jew. See, a first read of the gospel makes you look like Jesus went against the laws of Judaism. And that's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus loved Judaism. He loved his tradition, his roots. But Jesus challenged the system. The Pharisees and the scribes and the people who thought they had everything figured out always had a hard time with Jesus. And that's why you see them challenging him. And Jesus is also trying to point them all, always trying to point them to the bigger picture. Motivated by what? By love. When does a loving person not go out of his or her way to feed a hungry person, someone who suffers from hunger? When does a loving person ignore the suffering of someone who is sick and in need? See, Jesus could not ignore the hunger. Jesus could not ignore the suffering. And Jesus told his disciples that even though it was the Sabbath, and they knew all of the ritual laws about the Sabbath, human beings come first. People come first. People are more important than all of the laws and regulations and things that we've come up with as human beings. It doesn't mean to disregard the law. Jesus did not disregard the law and the prophets. Jesus very much paid attention to them. He saw the big picture. And today, our challenge in the 21st century is to be Christians that can see the big picture. And what do we have to do to see the big picture? What do we have to achieve or accomplish to be able to see the big picture? We have to open our minds and our hearts to God's way, to the Jesus way. Because, my friends, the Jesus way is just not our way. We tend to stay in our comfort zone. Whatever feels right to us, whatever feels comfortable to us, and then we never go beyond where God may be leading us to go. If we live by faith, we know that that requires risk. If we trust in God's way, we know that it requires that we risk our lives, motivated by God's truth and God's love. And our life will be so much richer, so much better when we do take those risks, trusting in God's way. I want to bring this gospel to our times. Because if you think about it, Jesus shows us 2,000 years ago in this message what is still in many ways happening today. And it happens at every level of our society. For example, each and every one of you, believe it or not, either now or at some point in your life, have exercised some kind of leadership role, whether it's professionally, whether it's in your home, among your children. And there's different kinds of leadership styles. We talk about leadership a lot today. As a matter of fact, it's a big, big industry, you know, the leadership industry. They have many seminars and workshops and things that they charge thousands of dollars for. People go to learn to be leaders. Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught us a lot about being a leader. He showed us the big picture of leadership. For example, in our world today, we talk about micromanagers or micromanaging and how dangerous they are. People who want to control everything all the time, what people think, what people say, the way people behave. Well, I've got to tell you something. I got big news for you. The only person in this world you can control is yourself. The only person in this world you can control is yourself. So next time you think that you can micromanage, you know, get others to think the way you think or act the way they should act, think again. Look in the mirror and say, Lord, the only person I can control is myself. That's right. Jesus taught us that. When those Pharisees attacked him, when those scribes told him, you're breaking the Jewish law, what was Jesus' response? The way of love. See, the way of love is liberating because we're able to say, here it is, God. To let go and let God, right? You've seen the bumper sticker, yes. We live in a time when many talk about laws and procedures. But the problem with that is that there is no law and no procedure that is beyond human dignity, the dignity of human persons. You look at our world, at what is happening globally and nationally. And many times you hear people talk about laws and laws and this and that. And what I hear is a lot of fear. There is no law that can justify mistreating a child or any human being at the border. It doesn't matter if that border is here between the U.S. and Mexico. It doesn't matter if it's in Europe, if it's in Syria. Mistreating human beings is never justified. Never. And so as Christians that are trying to follow the Jesus way, we must remember that Jesus understood the law and the prophets, and he loved the law and the prophets. He loved the Sabbath. But human beings came first. That's why they were fed. That's why they were cured. There was a need that was greater. And because there was a need that was greater, Jesus, motivated by love and truth, did what was right. And I ask you the question, 21st century Christians trying to follow Jesus, are we willing to do what is right? We live in a world of judgment. We very easily judge things. We judge people, situations, and things, sometimes superficially. We don't look at things in depth and study them and understand them. We hear a soundbite, or we read a tweet, and we read something, and already we made up our mind. This person is this, this person is that. We live in a world of labels. We've got to be very careful with that. Judgment cannot replace greater understanding. Judgment cannot replace compassion. Judgment cannot replace trying to find what's in the mind and heart of someone. And we have to do everything that we can to go deeper. See, when you read today's gospel, at first you think, oh yeah, Jesus allowed his disciples to break the law of the Sabbath. And then he went and he cured someone, and the Jews were not happy about that. If it was just about that, it would be easy. But it's deeper than that. Jesus did everything possible to follow God's way. And God's way is always the way of love. The way of greater understanding, the way of greater compassion, the way of service. Now, you know, one of the challenges that we have today is the challenge of the 24/7 news cycle. So whatever people are talking about, that's what we all talk about, you know. Someone sets up a story, boom, we all start talking about it. We all start tweeting about it. We all start posting it on Facebook. We all start fighting back and forth. And the problem is, if you've already got your mind made up about everything, and you haven't had the chance to listen to other points of view, how will you ever begin to understand? How can we begin to understand each other unless we're willing to listen? How can we begin to understand God's truth unless we open our minds and our hearts to God's truth? See, the Pharisees and the scribes in today's gospel were already mad at Jesus, and they had not yet heard the message of God's kingdom. And I would venture to say that many of us have still not heard, really heard, with our hearts, not with our ears, with our hearts, the message of God's kingdom. Because God is always calling us to so much more. Today, as we gather and we see our world, let's pray that God will give us greater understanding. That before we start a fight, we're able to look at the bigger picture. Because every one of us is influenced by so many things that are not in our immediate radar. Rather than reacting to others and reacting to situations, we should sit back a little bit and really try to proactively pay attention. Where's the tension coming from? Where are the struggles coming from? It doesn't matter if you're on the right or on the left, if you're conservative or liberal, if you're from this place or that place. Where's the tension really coming from? And I can tell you, ultimately, most of the tension comes from not really knowing God's way. If we know God's truth, we know the power of God's love. And if we know the power of God's love, we live in love. We live in love. Then we're able to really grasp the message of Jesus. It wasn't about breaking the Sabbath. That would be too easy. It's about getting the bigger picture. God's vision. A vision that is greater than ours. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.